Thank you, Maraca, for sharing your testimony. We all have a testimony, don't we? And we are a walking testimony as Christians as we go about our activities throughout the day, how we live our life. We all experience things in many, many different ways. And the Lord always gets us through it when we lean upon His understanding and His wisdom. None of us would be here today if it wasn't for God's grace. So it brings me to our message today. God's purpose for the church, or His church. If you ever wondered what the church is all about, you can see it right there in Acts chapter 2, 40 through 47. The book of Acts is a book that gives the instructions and functions of a healthy church. And I just finished a series on warfare, spiritual warfare, and now we're going to be looking at discovering our church's purpose of the New Testament church. Preach some series on that, and that it's perfect timing today, since we're going to be open the time capsule this evening. And 25 years ago, some things was putting in that time capsule, celebrating some celebrations of events, ministries, and things that's happened in people's lives, and have they been blessed. That song that we opened up with, All That I Am, mentioned all the things I want to share this morning in our five topics. Yeah, that worked out perfect. And we'll be sharing those here in a few minutes. So if you would join me, first of all, with verse 40. I'll start with verse 40 of Acts chapter 2. And we know that Acts chapter 1 begins with the flowing of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. That's 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Peter preached that famous message on Acts chapter 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People were pierced in the heart when they heard what Peter had to say, because it reminded them of their sins and their rejection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And He brought to their minds what they had rejected, and it pierced their hearts to the point that they repented and they believed in Him, and people was added, 3,000 was added to the church in one day. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. So join with me now as we begin with verse 40. And this is called the ingathering crowd, the church. And many other words, and talking about Peter, Solomon testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking and of bread, and to prayer. Everyone feeling a sense of awe And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were gathered, were together, and all had things in common. And they began selling their properties and possessions and were sharing them with all, anyone that might have a need. Day by day, and this like every day, continually with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together and gladness and sincerity of heart. And they was praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Well, that's a wonderful passage of scripture. It just lights you up, doesn't it? Gets you excited about how God can work in churches. And how he provides all of the resources and how he provides the spiritual gifts that we need. And the working of the Holy Spirit was really taking place here after Peter had preached this message, and that's what happens when the Lord shows up. So this morning I want us to think about our purpose. Our purpose here at Versailles Baptist Church. The word purpose is defined as a reason for which something exists or is done. And it's also an intended or desired result. So that's what purpose is. And we all have a purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. That's why we are here today. That's why we are breathing God's gracious air. That's why our heart beats. That's why he gives us the abilities to be able to function in the capacity that he places us within the church. So we all have a purpose. There's a reason for each and every one of us for being here today. And based on the definition of this word purpose, we have seen how we need to consider the reason why we do certain things in the church in order to plan for more productive outcome through ministries and how we serve the Lord. Matter of fact, in Proverbs 19:21, it says, "You can make many plans, but God's purpose, or the Lord's purpose, will prevail." So that means we need to follow him, his purpose. You know, we all have a purpose for doing what we do, but we need to be on God's plan, because he has a purpose and his plan, and we are to arrive at his destination in his timing. And when God, and when the church, or when we're on God's level and timetable of times and events and ministries and so forth, he will bring us through each one. He will prevail. So if we don't know the Lord's purpose as a church, then we can't really plan for success. And we will see no desire results in reaching people for Jesus Christ. But that is God's purpose as a church, to reach people for Jesus Christ. Now, here we see a picture of what Christ intended to be for the church, functioning as it should, as you saw here, with love and unity. And there are five important things that takes place right here in this passage, and I want to point those out one by one so that we will understand. And they're all going to be again with the letter E, the E words. That's what I'm calling it that this morning, summarizing each purpose of the church this morning. So let's look at the first one, the purpose number one. As you see in verses 40 and 41, You might want to take some good notes here this morning. You can always go back and look at them and say, yeah, this is where I fit in. This is where my purpose in the church, in God's church. So purpose number one, evangelize through outreach. That's what evangelize or evangelism is. It's an outreach. It's to go out. It's and to reach people. Jesus says, go out in the hedges and the highways and hedges, and compel people to come in. It doesn't mean that we are to sit inside our pews and inside the four walls of the church and say, we're here, just come right on. No, we are to go. That's what this says. Matter of fact, when we think what the purpose is, our first purpose is outreach. So in Matthew 28:19, a perfect example of what Jesus is saying right here, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And you know, that includes Versailles, Indiana. He says all nations, and we're part of that, right? So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So do you see what word in there that stands out that caught my eye? It should catch your eye. Is that word go. That's in the Great Commission. In the original language, should be read as you are going. It's not if you, or if you're thinking about it, or maybe. It's as you are going. And this is called outreach. Outreach. That's what it's called. And also, the word go is in the Great Commission, and that's what we are to do. So making disciples and teaching them about Jesus Christ is done through outreach. Now, there it is, outreach. Outreach, that's what we are to do. Now, which is accomplished through evangelism. Those two are synonymous. And this is our very first E word, which is evangelize. And going back to Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 41, it tells us, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And it is. It's a hard generation. You know, each and every one of us understand how difficult it is from our series of messages on our spiritual warfare in this world, which Satan is behind. And that's why Peter said it's a really perverse place out there in this world. And we need to get on board with the Lord. And we need to get busy doing something for the Lord while we're here on this earth. After we're gone, it's too late. But while we are here and we know that we're saved and sanctified with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has placed us in a position within this world, this church, our lives, we are to do something for him. And that's verse 40. And then verse 41 says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. They were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. So here, mind you, we see how Peter was involved in evangelism. He was preaching evangelistic message to the people that really needed to hear it the most, the people that God had spoken to from the very beginning, chose them, and they did not listen. They did not hear. So Peter had the flaws and so forth, but you know what? After he saw Jesus Christ ascend back into heaven, it dawned on him, everything that we've experienced, him going to the cross, me denying him, and then him asking me three times if I loved him, He said, now I've got it. And now I've got to proclaim it, because they too are missing out on the true Messiah that came and died for their sins. And that's what this message was about, to remind them they rejected the number one person that could give them eternal life. And therefore, we see here that one aspect of the church purpose is evangelism, or telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. When the first time it really, I guess, caught my attention was in my early 20s, when I heard Dr. Harold Hunter preach a message on witnessing or going out, reaching out to the lost people. I don't know, God just touched my heart that day and said, Mike, now what you gonna do about that? And I said, wow, yeah, you're speaking to me, Lord. And really speaking to all of us, but you know, sometimes, you know, he hits you right between the eyes with the word, his word, with the message, how it is spoken, and you hear it, but it must end up right here in the heart before you will act upon it. And man, I start acting upon it, and I begin to see people saved. You know, everybody I witnessed to didn't get saved, but over the years, of the 40 years, 50, it was 60 years now, witnessing for the Lord, I've seen many people accept him as their personal Savior. And I never get tired of hearing that person pray that prayer of salvation. And that's what this is all about. That is the purpose of the church. Now, secondly, let's see what the next one is. Well, evangelism is telling people about the good news. Okay, now, second part, the purpose to exalt through worship. So that's what we're doing here this morning. You know, we started out, we evangelized. That's kind of an introduction to the purpose of the church. But then we come together corporately to worship, to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the second purpose of the church, which is worship. Worshiping the Lord God Almighty. And actually, we just don't worship here in this one setting, but it should be on our mind daily. As you read the Word of God, you're worshiping God, because you're reading his inspired Word. It's infallible, inerrant. It's perfect in all ways. It tells us how we are to get saved, and it tells us how we are to live our life. And as long as we are reading and studying God's Word, then we're going to know exactly our purpose each day that we walk on this earth, that God has given us to do so. So let's take another look at verse 42, where it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and that's their teaching. Doctrine was a teaching, the Word of God, and a fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So here we see the mentioning of prayer. Prayer is worship. So we worship, we worship through singing, we worship through sharing with one another our burdens, our testimonies. We worship through prayer. And see, here we see the mentioning of prayer. And as we know, prayer is communicating with God. It's communicating with him. It's the channel of devotion with the Lord. So our devotion and main devotion should be to the Lord. He should be number one. He should be our number one priority. And then family, and then church, and on down the line. But we are to worship the Lord through prayer, through his word as well. So we know that's communicating with the Lord. So real prayer is expressing our devotion to our Heavenly Father, inviting him to talk to us as we talk to him. So when we talk to him, sometimes, you know, we're asking and we're just communicating with him as we would with one another in conversations and so forth. But sometimes we need to just stop and we just need to listen to his Holy Spirit. His voice speaks to our hearts. Now, I've never heard God audibly, but I have, and I do know in my heart that he speaks to me through his word, through prayer, and I've seen him in actions. I've seen the results of prayers that I've prayed, and I know prayers that you pray, and that's the church has prayed. That's how God works, through our worship to him. So prayer is an act of devotion, therefore prayer is an act of worship. So I want you to remember that. That's very important. Act of devotion and act of worship. That is, that's how prayer works. So whenever we worship the Lord, we worship him. He's high and lifted up. Think about that. When we exalt the Lord, the church will grow. I promise you, it will. I've seen it. I've experienced it. We have experienced it as well, as you recall. Through the years of ministry, you think about this church was formed back in early 1800s, 1829, something like that. Look at how many years of ministry, how God has reached down, how through us to reach people for Christ. Many people have gotten saved in this church, and now many people are home in heaven with the Lord because of God's precious purpose for the church into evangelism, outreach, and then exalting him through worship. Now, so whenever we worship the Lord, we worship him high and lifted up, and we exalt the Lord, and we will grow. And if we lift high his holy name, then all people will be drawn to him. That's what the scripture tells us. If we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And God will use the church most closest to him. He will use people most closest to him. And we get close to the Lord through our worship, through our praise, through prayer, through his word. So another aspect of the church's purpose is exaltation through worship. All right, let's move on to number three. Purpose three, encourage through fellowship. Well, we do a lot of fellowshipping, right? Now, I do want to say, just because we come to eat, that's not always just fellowship, right? we call it fellowship because sometimes we call buildings a fellowship hall. We call ours a family life center and so forth. But the fellowship is communicating with one another, telling each other how God has blessed you and how your needs are being met and how God is using you through ministry to reach out to other people. See, that's sharing one another's not only burdens, but it's only showing other the blessing that God is doing through you. That's the fellowship, and that's why we come together. And yes, the Bible mentioned that they broke bread, they ate, and so forth like that. But that was a part of them coming together and communing together and sharing God's blessing with one another and breaking the bread and taking communion together as a remembrance of what God had done to them after Peter's great message telling them, you have rejected the number one person that can give you eternal life. And when they heard that, it pricked their hearts, and it changed their lives forever. So the third purpose of the church is fellowship. Fellowship. We see this purpose mentioned in Acts chapter 2, 42, 44. And I want to read 42 again, which says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." In verse 44, I want to read that one again, tells us, "Now all who believed were together." That means they were in one mind. They was in one accord. They were thinking the same thing. They were thinking about worship. They were thinking about God. They had things in common. Isn't it good when you got things in common with people, with one another? And it's great when you have things in common with your family, your spouse, just your friends and things. And you can talk on the same level when you're talking to the Lord and praising God. And they said, yeah. You see, that's edifying one another. That's that what they call lifting up in the name of the Lord, that he may be glorified in all that we do. Now, the word fellowship, we know, is koinonia, which means sharing, and emphasizes unity and oneness of the church. And there's nothing better than having unity within the church, because you know that God is at work. He is in our hearts, and we are working for the same goal, to glorify him and witness outreach through evangelism and bringing honor and glory to our Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So whenever we fellowship with other believers, we encourage fellowship. That means that together, and then it encourages one another. We all would like to be a Barnabas, right? Barnabas. You know who Barnabas was? He was one of Paul's companions, and his name means encourager. So we are to encourage one another all the more. In 1 Thessalonians, where it talks about the Lord coming back again, and it says we are to encourage one another even the more as we see that day appearing. And it will appear one of these days. But until then, we are to encourage one another with, say, I notice how God is using you with your spiritual gift. I can see God working in you. I can see how God is using you to reach people, or to encourage people, or to help people, or give people time, your time. See, that's what encouraging is. Maybe through a phone call, a visit, or something like that, or just reaching out and say, hey, I'm praying for you. God laid you on my heart today to pray for you. You see, that's encouraging. People need to hear that. And I have people tell me that quite often. Pastor Mike, I prayed for you today. Great. I thank you. And I'm praying for you. I pray for all our church. I pray for you, our congregation. And I pray for other churches. And I pray for other people. And that's what we are to do. So it's encouraging to one another when we do that. So fellowship is koinonia, and it means sharing and emphasizing the oneness of the church. The word fellowship emphasizes that people belong to one another. And in Romans 1:11, it says, "For I long to see you." And then verse 12 says, "That I may encourage that be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." See, Paul was looking forward. He wasn't always able to meet with the people that he reached, or the churches he started, because a lot of times he was in prison by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And he wasn't. That's why he was in prison a lot, because of his sharing. And Paul said that fellowship for encouragement. He also admonished in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And also Paul says that we are to bear the burdens of the household of faith even more because we are family. That's what he tells us. And another aspect of the church is encouraging believers through fellowship. All right? The fourth purpose, the fourth E is edify through discipleship. Now, years ago, you remember, we used to have discipleship training. And when was that? Anybody remember? It was on Sunday night, right? We met on Sunday nights, and we went to classes, and we studied about discipleship, how to reach out, how to witness, and how the church is to conduct the outreach ministry of reaching people for Jesus Christ. That has fallen by the wayside through the years. I don't know why, but it has. And now we have the opportunity to share that on Sunday morning through the scriptures of what we are to be doing as a church. So that is, we are to edify through discipleship. So the fourth purpose of church is discipleship. Verse 42 again says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The word continued means they studied. They studied together. They studied individually. But they studied the doctrine that they were being taught by the apostles. And the word doctrine here refers to the content of that teaching. And the content of the teaching is the Word of God, which describes each purpose that we are to function in as a church as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So discipleship serves to edify. And edify means to build up one another, means lifting up. It means, you know, picking someone and bearing their burden and carrying them. That's to edify. That's that uplifting. And we know the Lord is high and lifted up, and we are to lift up and edify His holy name. So edification through discipleship serves to build up believers in the knowledge of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and to edifying believers in the knowledge of God. Jesus Christ is accomplished through Bible study. And that's why we do that on Wednesday night. And I'm always encouraging you, if you're not a part of that, we have fun in studying directly from God's Word. 2 Timothy says, and you know this verse, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we study, then God gives us the knowledge, and we apply that to wisdom, and we are called good workmanship. And that way we don't have to be ashamed at all. And that way we are able to rightly divide the word of truth and understanding, knowing what is right and what Satan is trying to do to tempt us to do otherwise. So we are able to do that. Studying the word or the scriptures, if however you want to call it, strengthens the faith of you and me, faith of believers. And it gives us a foundation on which to stand, the principles to live by. And we need godly principles, don't we? In this world today, we need to know what godly principles are, because there are so many things out there to distract us. So discipleship is building up in Christian faith. And faith is all the way through the Word of God. It tells us how we are to live. Another aspect of God's purpose for the church is edification of believers, especially new and young believers, through discipleship. All right, the last one is equip. Purpose 5, equip through service. See, we come in, we get to a training, we get to fulfillment of what our purpose is, and then we serve the Lord. We serve one another. We serve for a purpose. And the fifth purpose of the church is service, or what we call ministry. You know, for years and years and years, the church used programs. They used that word program. But I like the word ministry. Service or ministry. Because what do? We are called to be ministers for God. So whatever God lays upon our hearts and shows us what our purpose is, then we turn it into a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 45 says, they gave to anyone as they had need. As they had need. And we see here that they gave, and giving is, think about that. Giving is an act of service. You ever thought of it that way? That's how the word describes it. Service or servanthood is a command in the Bible. It is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, it says, let no one seek his own, but each one another's well-being. There's a need, a real need, then we are to fulfill that purpose for that need. So as believers, we are supposed to follow Christ's example of servanthood. You know, he was a perfect servant, wasn't he? He washed people's feet. He went far beyond to meet the needs of people. He met their spiritual need, but most of the time, and he met their physical need, and that led to their spiritual need most of all, because they needed salvation. They needed eternal life. Now, Christ is an example of servanthood so that we can make people spiritually rich just as Jesus did. And in conclusion this morning, the purpose of the church, in verse 47, it tells us that if we enact these five purposes, then people will be added to the church. And we read, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now keep in mind right here, and I said it a while ago, service is ministry. It's all a part of God's plan. So, take this outline this morning. It's all laid out. And review this and reread this chapter, chapter 2, verses 40, where you can start at chapter 1. And it tells you how it all began with the rushing in of the Holy Spirit. People got excited, and Peter preached his message in chapter 2, and then we saw the church form, and things started happening. The book of Acts is a book of action. Acts is about the Holy Spirit working in the lives of the people of the church. If you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and we all do, that knows him as our personal Savior, then that word is action. God puts us in action to do his will for the cause of his kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. Lord, thank you for giving us instructions how the church is to function, the purpose, and our purpose as we are to evangelize and we edify in our discipleship and to serve. And that's where we learn about how to serve you, is by reading your scriptures. And the book of Acts is a perfect place to know all of the things, how the church functions and our responsibilities. Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you personally, or anyone listening, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, after Peter's message, the hearts were touched and people were getting saved. And Lord, we just pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit this morning, that you will move in a mighty way in our hearts. And maybe the areas that we haven't even thought of in our mind. But Lord, you have the ability to implant in our hearts and our minds what we need to do. May we be obedient and step out and make a decision for you, whatever that might be, for salvation, for wanting to get involved in more ministry, joining the church, and serving you. Lord, let your will be done in each and every one of our hearts right now as I pray. And Lord, we lift you up and we thank you for all your blessings and what we are to see in the future because of our obedience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.